Amen. Good word. We could go home and say, this has been good. I mean, the worship time, beautiful today. Such presence of the Lord in the house. And thank you for listening to God. I just want to say something. You know, Pastor and I have been at this a long time. He's been here 8 years longer than I have. But it's just absolutely amazing and beautiful thing that we get to see how we, you know, starting from times when we had the school and how we saw students come up and graduate and they have babies and they have kids. And then some of our spiritual sons and daughters, you know, they came along later in life. But we're just so honored by all of you that just say yes, whatever it is that God wants you to do, whatever it is that is in this house and whatever you are saying yes to, because when we say yes, it turns our life around. Till we say, yes, Lord, your will, yes and amen. I will do what you ask me to do. And it's not always easy. And sometimes we get all confused in our mind. And is that me or is that you? But as we develop inside of us, we do learn what is of him. And so it's an honor and pleasure for Daryl and I to be able to minister the word. And we tagged on to, you know, we're talking about the spirit of bondage today. But I asked our wonderful Nick back there. I love you, Nick. You are amazing. I just want you to know that. Appreciate you so much. And I mean that. But I asked him to put overcoming because, see, we're giving you information. And on most of them, we've even had prayer and we've renounced. But the end result is overcoming whatever influence that the enemy has and tries to trick us with in life. And so, you know, we want to overcome the spirit of bondage. And I believe that revelation is already flowing in this house. Already flowing. So I believe there's going to be light bulb moments, not just for Alex, but I believe there's going to be moments in, you probably already had some through worship, because when we begin to honor God and we forget about ourselves, something happens in the spiritual realm. And I believe there were things that God is doing and speaking into your lives as we worshiped. But I also believe that as you listen, as we attend ourselves to the word of God, that we're going to get some revelation and we're able to pinpoint ourselves. You know, Pastor and I are teaching this series, but that doesn't mean that we don't have to stand our ground against the enemy, because we do. We all do. So we're going to talk about spirit of bondage and some of the characteristics and the symptoms of it. And we've all seen them in our life, one or the other, or maybe all of them, but fears. And we've all had to come against fear. We talked about fear last time I ministered to you. Fear is a very weak spirit, and it always has other spirits working and operating to do the work that the master devil has sent them out to do. But fears, addictions. We all know that addictions are a bondage in our lives, or our family's life. Anybody that's been addicted to anything, it can become a bondage to us. Compulsive sins. If you ever are, you know, we probably all, there's times where we've been compulsive and we wonder, why am I so compulsive about certain things? And we got to ask ourselves, what is behind that? What is behind that is to get us into a bondage. And it might seem innocent at first, but it can become compulsions. You can buy in compulsions. You think, now how in the world, have you ever watched the shows Hoarders? Have you ever seen that? You know, and you sit there and you think, now how can that happen? You know how it can happen? Because they didn't put things up and take care of things as it came into the house. Well, it's the same thing with us. If we don't get out things in our house, our spiritual house, the next thing you know, it's full of hoarders inside of it. And boy, it's hard to get that stuff cleaned out. I mean, they have to have big crews to come. First of all, it's interesting. Now, I don't have anything of this in my notes. We're just going where we're going. But it's interesting to me how when there's hoarders and when they decide somebody in the family is talking to a family member that has a problem. And so when they finally can get them to listen to someone, they'll bring in, somebody that, I don't know if it's a therapist, I don't know if it's a counselor, I don't know exactly what it is, but they will bring a psychologist, they'll bring somebody in to talk to them, to get them to hear what their family or a friend or somebody that loves them is trying to tell them. They don't want to turn loose of it. You know, they kind of like this because they might need that someday, even though it's on a heap pile and they haven't seen it for a while, doesn't mean it's not there. And sometimes there's some garbage underneath that is stinking and they don't have a clue where it's coming from. But they don't want anybody messing with their stuff. Could it be that there's spiritual hoarding going on in our lives, demonic, that the enemy has, we have allowed him to pour in to us through our soulish realm instead of dealing with, and instead of doing something about it, we'll find something else we want. That doesn't work for me anymore. So I'm going to try this, and I'm going to try that. Are you getting the picture of what the enemy tries to do in our life? Compulsive sins, corruption, and indebtedness. Indebtedness, we all know, is a bondage. And sometimes we can't blame anybody or anything except ourselves. So we're just going to kind of break it all down. And I said a while ago that bondage works with fear, but it also will work with lying. If you have a lying spirit, you know, the ultimate of that is just to get you in bondage. So have you ever heard so many liars in your life? Lord Jesus, speaking truth as if it's a lie, and they're speaking lies as if it's truth, and they have millions that agree with them. That shows you that the enemy means to entrap his people. And we, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to overcome. We are on our way to overcome the spirit of bondage. We're overcoming the spirit of fear. We are overcoming the spirit of lying. We're overcoming the spirit of divination. We're overcoming the spirit of error. We are overcoming those things that the enemy wants to bring, those strongholds that we can see they were in our family. And they were before even our moms and our dads, many of them. But if we would look back, it would be astounding the things that they dealt with that we have had to deal with today or are dealing with. But it's time that we overcome it, that we get it broken, so that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren can say, oh, no, we're free from that spirit. Amen? We're free from the spirit of bondage. Romans 8:15. So let's get into the word here. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out. We have received the spirit of adoption. You did not receive bondage and fear when you come into the kingdom of God. Because we've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Greek word Abba is very close to what we use today, speaking about one's fathers. It's a term of endearment. I know that Tiffany calls her daddy all the time, and he loves that. And she calls me mama. Those are terms of endearment. Our Father God, Abba Father, we cry out, Abba Father, because we have been adopted into the body of Christ. And so we have an audience. When we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, we are now in the kingdom of God, and we are delivered from the spirit of bondage. When we accepted Christ, we were delivered from the spirit of bondage. So what is it that has caused us to allow things to come into our life and try to hold us down? John 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you will hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you should know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He told his disciples, "If you will hold on to my teachings." So see, we got to hold on to some teachings, okay? We're getting some knowledge, and we aren't glorifying Satan. We're just saying, Satan, you got a mark on your back. You got a mark on you. You are under our feet, and we are not going to allow you to build up strongholds in our minds. Oh, you've tried, but we have power, and those strongholds are coming down in the name of Jesus. The enemy tries to lie to us so much. Because it was back here, then I've got to put up with it today. No, you do not. Maybe you even opened the door yourself. Maybe it had nothing to do with back here, but you opened the door. Well, if the devil is telling you, you can't get delivered because you opened the door, you're being lied to. So we got to get some things straight today so that we can overcome what the enemy has brought against us. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Steadfast then, to do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to the yoke of slavery which you once put off. When we come into Jesus, when we come into Christ, and we're adopted into the body of Christ, that's when our deliverance comes. Now, it doesn't mean that there's some strongholds that have been built up that we don't have to deal with, because we do. But it means that we're not supposed to have to walk like we used to. It means that through Christ, in Christ, and by the Holy Spirit, that we can be totally set free. It says, we have been completely liberated. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again. We've been submitting again. When we submit again, every time we submit again, that compulsive sin, think of the whoredoms. Think of going into a house where you can't walk. They have to climb on top of stuff to get to another room. That's how cluttered our spiritual house can get. But we're changing that today, man. We're saying, uh-uh, devil, you've been found out. Enough is enough. You're not going to continue this. Because I got some work to do, and I'm going to do it. Out of my mouth, I'm going to say what the Word of God says about my situation. And Paul says, you have returned again to a yoke of slavery which you had once put off. If we don't understand who we are in Christ and what Christ did for us, there's nothing more heartbreaking than to see someone that was totally delivered and set free, and then because of life happens and those times when your soul don't feel like being rejoicing and all, and they keep falling back into the web that after Jesus has set them free. It's a sad story. It doesn't mean that he won't do it again. But many have tasted the freedom of God and then returned back into bondages, because the enemy doesn't give up. He doesn't want to give up. But if we know who we are and if we know what the Word says, we don't have to go back into that captivity again. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 and 21. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Jesus Christ and are again entangled in and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known and then turn their backs. The enemy will try really, really hard to tell you that you're not saved. He will try really hard to say, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. He will do his best to put the blame on us. When we need to turn the tables and we need to, like Jesus did, we need to rebuke him and we need to tell him what the word said. The word himself used himself through his mouth to tell Satan, but it is written. When it came at him, Jesus said, it is written. There's nothing more miserable than a backslider. We don't talk about that word very much anymore. Backslider. Backslider means that we were once close to God and then we begin to let corruption enter our life. And we just let a little more and a little more come. And the things that used to we felt convicted for, we don't feel convicted for anymore. Well, I don't feel convicted for that, so I think I'm just fine. We can lie to ourselves and lie to our others, but what's happening is the enemy will take advantage of that to pour in his garbage. That's why we have to follow the word of God, and not our feelings, and definitely not our flesh. We have to come under the word of God, and we have to renew this mind. We've talked about this as we've ministered, and we say, remember, our flesh is stupid. Our flesh will, if you will give it the okay, the flesh, it will do, you know, it has the nature, our natural nature, it is going to do what it likes. Our natural nature has its likes and its dislikes, and that's okay to have your likes and dislikes, but when it gets over into sin, that's when we need to tell our flesh, flesh, you're not going to win, and we need to tell our soul, come on now, soul. You know what's right. You know what the word of God says. You know where your lines are at. If you as a Christian do not know where your lines are drawn, we all need to have a boundary. We all need to know what is right and what is wrong for ourselves that lines up with the word of God. There are some things that other people, it's not your problem, but it might be a problem for me. And so I need to make my own boundaries because I realize that if I don't make boundaries for me and I cross them, and I have before, I am miserable. And we all have to be honest with ourselves with that so that we can't lie to that, lie to ourselves. 2 Peter 2:19, the last part of it, says, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. We need to find out what is it that wants to master our thoughts. What is it that keeps coming back? What is it that keeps pulling us down and discouraging? What is it that is doing that? We have to find out because we, like Pastor said, we aren't wrestling against flesh and blood. But if we want to rule and reign with Christ, we must stop doing things that have led us into bondage. There's freedom in his name. We are overcoming the spirit of bondage. And I want you, every time that we speak on these, I want you, I know we're giving you information, you know, I'd rather just get up here and preach, but this is good because we need this. Pastor and I decided to commit to teaching this series again. Because we need to know what we're fighting against, and we need to be reminded of the weapons that we have to fight with. And it's going to come out of our mouth, and our flesh is going to react according to the word of God. Addictions are manifestation of the spirit of bondage, and it can be an addiction of any kind. You know, we it's really easy for us to talk about drugs, any kind of drugs, alcohols, cigarettes, food, television, sports, pornography, sex, ungodly music, computer. And some people, well, music is just music. I like all kinds of music. I do too, but I tell you what, if there's filthy words on that music, don't listen to it. You know, I mean, my goodness, why would you want to put some more garbage on your floor or on your couch. Why would you want to stick some more of that in there? That's not any worse than just throwing all the cigarette butts and your whiskey bottles in the floor. Same thing as you might as well. You know, we got to learn how to get cleaned up. We need to get our house cleaned out. We got to do it. Amen. Food. We can all say amen to that. It's a lot easier when we're fasting, right? The internet. We need to be careful. I mean, even the newscasters and all, they're fighting hard to get some stuff stopped because it is damaging our children. It's damaging the adults. How much screen time are we using? Are we addicted? Who would have ever thought that we could be so addicted to our phone that if we don't have 40, 50 hours a week on there, we have failed. We've lost some of our drug. We haven't had it for the week. And some of you might think, oh, no, that there are people that they can't do anything without their phone. And it's not easy. The devil, through our flesh, will always try to get us to be extreme. Isn't it interesting? He'll egg us on. That's good, whether it's food or whether, you know, it's interesting about food. The enemy, he likes us to overeat. He likes us to tear our bodies down. But then maybe we'll lose some weight. We got to be really careful because there's other things that are just as addictive. And anorexia or bulimic. It's, you know, he goes one way or the other with us because extremism is the devil's tactic. We all know that alcohol is one of the oldest addictions, and doctors today describe it as a sickness or a chemical imbalance, a medical problem. But the Word of God doesn't seem to support that diagnosis. If you've been diagnosed with that, I am not putting you down. I'm just saying that there is control over it. Drunkenness is listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. Do we have that one back there, Wesley? Okay. It's listed there. But in verse 11, it says that, and such were some of us. In other words, it needs to be repented because if alcoholism is a disease, it's the only disease that they advertise. They spread it by advertising. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, I understand that there's chemicals in bodies. I understand that. But I also know that the maker of the body, when we seek him and we ask for his help, just like cigarette smoking is not an easy thing to quit. It gets inside of us. It becomes a sickness to our body. So we have to learn how to be aware and be able to say, I don't want this in my body. More than 19.7 million ages 12 through and older in the U.S. suffer from alcohol addictions. And that was in 2017. In 2022, it was 29.5 million from 12 years up. That's a lot of people that are addicted to alcohol. And if it's left untreated, if it's left not dealt with, it will take lives. It will absolutely cause life-threatening situation for someone's body. But think of all those that have been killed in car wrecks because of alcoholism. It's something that the enemy wants to pile up in our houses. He wants us to hoard up because he wants to destroy us. And he loves it when our house gets all cluttered. He loves it when we get to that place where we have become overindulgent in any area. 7 of 10 Americans use alcohol as a beverage to drink with their meal. That's amazing, isn't it? We wouldn't know that. That alcohol and drugs are responsible for more than half of all homicides and very high in suicides. alcohol is dangerous, very dangerous. 13.5 of Americans 12 and older used drugs last year. 13.5 million Americans last year in 1 month. It's astounding. Isn't it astounding? No wonder the enemy wants to hold us in bondage. Other users include 47 of young people use an illegal drug by the time they graduate from high school. Now, that's a high number, 47% of our high school. God help us. No wonder we need to be on our knees praying, amen. No wonder we need to know what to fight back with, or the generation under us doesn't stand a chance. But if the church will rise up, we'll be honest, and we know what we're facing, and we'll speak out against it. We will pray for our families. We'll intercede for them. We will not just give messages that everybody wants to hear, but we'll say what the word says so that our children and our grandchildren can be saved. Other users include 5% of 8th graders, 20% of 10th graders, 24% of 12th graders. It's a lot. Solomon gave us some really great advice. Proverbs 23, verse 31 and 32. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Wow. Wow. Choose your drink wisely. I would say not at all if you could. Acts 8:23. For I see that you are in a gall of bitterness and in a bond forged by iniquity to fetter souls. There are a lot of religious bondages, you know, and this was touched on. Pastor was talking about every war is a religious war, one way or the other, because somebody's always wanting to put somebody else down, make somebody else the scapegoat. It is a war. There are bondages that are contrary to the word of God: Mormon, Islam, Jehovah's Witness, Unification Church, Moonies, Hare Krishnas, David Koresh, Jim Jones, so on. It could go on and on. But any practice, any religion or organization that uses fear to keep members under control or tie them to a set of rules that do not line up with the word of God, if it's a rule that does not line up with the word of God, run, baby, run, because it's not right. It's usually inspired by a spirit of bondage. The fear of death can be a horrible bondage. And we're not going to talk about it right now because it's one of the spirits that we're going to deal with in a later session. Now, I always say this. I love living. I absolutely love living. In spite of all of life, I love living. I am not afraid to die because I'm not afraid to live. And we need to have that attitude. I'm not afraid to live. Because I am in Christ. And because I understand what he provided for me. So therefore, because he said, I came to give you, Darlene Rose, I came to give you my life, abundant life, and more abundant. He wants us to enjoy this kingdom living that he has given to us. Satan once had power over death, but he doesn't anymore. Where a child of God is concerned. Let's read this scripture, Hebrews 2, 14 through 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. Jesus destroyed the one that had the power over hell and death. That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We don't have to fear death. I'm not ready to get my ticket punched at all. I probably 95, 96 would be just fine with me. But I'm not afraid to live. I'm not afraid to live. And you shouldn't be afraid to live either. If the enemy is taunting you and causing your life miserable, take a check within yourself. Don't start checking with everybody else that's in your life that makes you miserable. Check within yourself. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." How could we lose? We cannot lose. God doesn't want his people to live in any kind of bondage, none whatsoever. And today, we are going to overcome the spirit of bondage. We're going to do it because it's not allowed in our lives anymore. Amen? We have to be willing to give up our lives of sin and the works of the flesh. We have to say yes to him. Our prison, corporate offices, government, national and local, cities and streets are filled with those who are servants of corruption. You can look all around you and you can see servants of corruption. But that's not who you and I are. We are not those people. Turn your television. Pick up whoever reads the newspaper today. Some of you, probably digital if you do. I think there's still paper out there. We do everything just about digital. But you hear so much right now about terrorist group that kill innocent people. I mean, who would have ever thought, you know, who wants to go to New York and walk down those streets right now? I don't. And it's a beautiful city, and oh, what fun. In Chicago, and some of these, I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever, except that when you know that the enemy is trying to have his way. But when you and I understand who we are in Christ, when you and I will dare to pray and intercede and say, I want my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, I don't want them to have to live under that kind of rule. We begin to stand up and we begin to take our place. Did we read Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 yet? We just did, okay. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8. Did we read that one? Okay. Our prisons, our corporate offices, our governments, our cities, our streets, they are filled, but they need to be cleared of the spirit of bondage. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. We're going to read Romans 7:23. Remember that the spirit of bondage that's going on right now in our cities, they're after our young. They're after our innocent. I mean, they're after the older too. But if they can get rid of the mamas and the daddies and the grandpas and grandmas, the prayer warriors, if they can get rid of them, they're going to stand a better chance of getting to the young and the innocent. Romans 7:23 says, "But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war." This is what we were talking about a while ago. "Against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." Paul was instructing. And he could see what is available to you and I. He could see that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. He can see that. He can preach that Jesus came to set us free, that Jesus provided a way so that we are adopted into the kingdom of God. Abba, Father, is our daddy. That's who we belong to. And he accepts us with everything that he has provided. It's for me. But it's not just for me, it's for you, each one of you. It's yours. We have to lay claim on it. We have to live like we believe it. But we're living like what our flesh tells us. And God says, no, I want you to get this because those around you need it. They need you really bad. They're counting on us, church. They're counting on us. Paul is saying, telling us mankind has a war that it wages with the flesh that will lead to bondage. And those that refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will die in their bondages. They'll leave this world in bondage. But aren't you glad that God provided an antidote for you and I? He provided an antidote for those that would repent. An antidote if we would just cry out and receive what he has for us. Romans 7, 24, 25. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad you can say thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ? So then, I myself in my mind. Now we got to get to the place where in my mind, in your mind, you are a slave to God's law. Amen? We are slaves to God's law. We're prisoners. I am a prisoner of the love of God. He captivated me. He captivated me with his love. Captivated me with the fact that he understood that I wasn't perfect and that was okay. He knew before I was formed in my mother's womb. He knew way back when that I wasn't going to live a perfect life. But he says, I made a way for you through my law, through my love. I am a slave. I'm a prisoner to the word of God. But if I stay in my sinful nature, I would become a slave of sin in bondage. Stand to your feet. We're just about done, just about finished here. God is raising up a people that are realizing their authority and beginning to take back the influence. Taking it back. We're taking it back, church. Because the enemy has stolen so much. And isn't it something? He comes to you with the same old, same old. And he begins to tell you that lie. And you say, stop it right there. In the name of Jesus, my mind is blessed. My mind is whole. I am no longer in bondage to fear. I am no longer in bondage to anything that would keep me from the law of God, the word of God. I believe that families, husbands, that you were a little quiet. And maybe you didn't know just exactly how to protect your family. Maybe you didn't know. And God says, I understand, but I'm giving you some revelation. I want you to do things different than you used to. You thought being the head was just saying, I said it and that's it. No, 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 no. You are the example of the house. You should set that temperature, that thermometer. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord, wife. I'm going to take care of you. And I'm not going to allow the enemy to keep on harassing you. I will fight the fight of faith. I will say what the word of God says. And when something comes out of your mouth that is contrary to the word of God, I'm going to say, honey, we're believing God. We're standing for your healing. And no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. That's what we need from the heads of the house. That's what we need. But you may not be there yet. That's okay. But you make it your desire, your journey, that's where you're going to. Because I'm telling you, when you love your wife right, and my husband just said it, she will respect you. She will love you. And she will take care of you. Because women are born to be covered by a man. If we usurp authority in the home, it's because the head didn't know how to be that loving cover. Now, I'd rather pastor tell you these things as me, but I happen to be preaching this morning. More teaching than preaching, but whatever. We need you, men. Oh, my goodness, we love you. We need you. We want you to cover us. We want you to tell the devil no, that you're not going to torment my child with nightmares. You're not going to destroy them with fevers. You're not going to. This is my house, Satan. God has put me in authority. And you get out of here in the name of Jesus. You have harassed my house way too long. Today's a new day. No condemnation in yesterday. Today's a new day. Ecclesiastes 10, the last part of verse 8, says, "And whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him." So we need to make sure that around our houses, we get a special kind of hedge, fasting and praying and say, "Oh God, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children. I thank you for my brother and sister. I thank you for my parents. I thank you. Oh, I thank you, Father, that you told us that we were the head and not the tail. We're above and we are not beneath." And you begin to speak out of the word of God. You plead the blood of Jesus over your house. You pray it over your family. And it will begin to keep dangerous snakes from coming on the property. We have the authority. We can say, "Yeah, I know it," but will we use it? Will we do it? God's challenging us in 2024 to pray because we believe it. He's asking us to speak his word because we know it's true. And not only that, do we know it's true, but we know that it irritates the enemy because he's used to getting his way with us. But all of a sudden, men and women are rising up and they say, "The word of the Lord says that in this house you are trespassing. The blood of Jesus is covering our house. So get out of here in the name of Jesus, you foul demonic spirits." If a breaker and opening was allowed in the hedge, that's when the possibilities of a snake getting in were high. If the house is in snake territory, the odds of getting bit are higher. So be careful where you camp out at and who you camp out with. It's our responsibility to keep the doors closed to the enemy. Keep our defenses, keep our hedge built of protection around about. You can live in a snake-filled world and never be touched if you'll keep up the hedge. Grandparents, we have a big job. Pray for those grandchildren. Pray for those children. Pray, pray, pray. I know Pastor Darrell and I, we're at the age we could retire. But this is more fun for us. Not for everybody, but this is more fun for us than if we were retired today. Because God still has a mandate upon our life to tell the truth, to minister, to put word of God into you, that you strong warriors, men and women of God, are going to begin to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do. And no, 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 devil, you are trespassing. Get out of my house. Get out of my life. Get off our property in the name of Jesus." Only the ministry of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit can keep us from sinning. If we avoid the Word of God on a regular basis, we shut off the alarm system. Think about that. If you don't read the Word, you don't pray. Oh, you had a hedge around. You were praying and then you got distracted. And you forgot. Your soul got a little bit tired and you forgot to sing, "Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get tired on me. Shy on me, lift up your head, lift up your voice." We got to lift up our voice. We got to be diligent or the alarm system won't work. If you don't remember anything else I said today, remember that. Because you didn't even feel alarmed and the snakes have gotten in on the property. It's not the devil's fault. It's not God's fault. It's because we refuse to take the word of God and do the work of opening my mouth. Your mouth goes all the time, so why don't you put the right stuff in it and let it spew out? Let's be spewers of the word of God. Let's be spewers that see the good in everybody else. We think on things that are lovely, pure, just, of good report. We're not judgmental. We won't talk about anybody. And if somebody starts talking about who you love, you say, you just stop it in the name of Jesus. I'm not listening to that filth. That is my brother. That is my sister. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You'll get more people set free by doing that than you will listening to them. We got to be careful what we hear and what we say. It's time for us to take dominion over what already has been given to us. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I will give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any means harm you. Isn't that one thing that the devil wants to do is keep us from revelation? And then in closing with the scripture that Pastor read a while ago, 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, and you're like, I already heard that. No, you didn't totally hear it. Because we need to hear it some more. For we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. Find yourself in a lot of arguments. Do you know that you can demolish those arguments? First of all, telling ourselves to be quiet. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. When our obedience is complete, then we can punish every lie the devil tries to tell you. Or on you. It's punishment when fear gets sent back. It's punishment when you no longer in bondage to and slave to the things of the enemy. I'm just going to tell you where these scriptures are. We're not going to put them up there because they don't have them. But Hebrews 4:12. If we'll throw up, these are power tools that we're giving you right now. We need to get our power tools out. The Word of God. Everybody said, yes, I know that. I understand that. Hebrews 4:12 says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The name of Jesus. Number two, the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:9-11. Since our brother is putting them up, we'll just wait a moment and get them. These are good. We know that the name of Jesus is powerful. And if he comes up with that one, we'll read it. But also, number three, the blood of Jesus and our testimony according to Revelation 12:11. Weapons. We're talking about power tools that we have. Holy Spirit in John 16:13. The name of Jesus, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a powerful, powerful verse. The armor of God that comes with the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us, and the keys of binding and loosing. Those are keys to the kingdom of God. If we have a hunger after the things of God and we keep pushing in, you're going to have the richest life you've ever had. We're all going to find out what it feels like to taste the goodness of God fresh and new. I don't know about you, but I want the freshness of God in my life. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been sitting through the message, you've been sitting through worship today, and your heart was even touched. You even felt the presence of God, even though you weren't sure what it was. If you're in this house and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you've backslid, maybe you've given more time to the enemy than you are to what God's pulling on your heart about. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be afraid, because those are only things that the enemy offers. Those are only his packages, right? We don't have to give in that today. But if you're in this house and you want someone to pray with you, I would encourage you to come forward. I would encourage you to come and just say, God, I'm just going to say yes to you today. I'm going to say yes. I'm not going to keep on wrestling with these thoughts that I know are not of you, because I don't want to live in bondage anymore. If you're here, would you just come? Go ahead and worship team. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask you, just like Pastor did last week, that if you would, let's all move in close. If you don't feel up to walking up or you don't want to, that's okay. No condemnation. But I'm telling you, there's something powerful when we get into agreement. There's something that is so real when we understand that we're all in this together. None of us have arrived, but in 2024, we're determined to be better than what we've been. We're determined to let the word work in our lives, in our homes, in our children, because we won't give up. We're not going to back down. We're not going to give in. We are not. If you're back there and you're just not really sure where you're at with Christ, I would encourage you to come up. I would encourage you to walk up here. Just to take that opportunity. And I'm going to ask you to do what we did last week. Those of you that are back there, if you can get to someone next to you, just put your hand on their shoulder. Ask them, what can you pray with them today? We need each other. We need to pray together. We need to cry out to God together. Find someone and pray with them today. And Pastor said, pray with somebody beside your spouse. Pray with somebody that it's not so comfortable, but you want to pray because you know that God's called you to be a prayer warrior. You know that you got to step out of your box, because God, I want to tell you something. What God's got for you, you can't do it in your box. Take it from me. If I'd stayed in my box, I would never be doing what I am here or overseas. I would not, because I was too afraid. We love you. And we're so glad that you joined us today. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you next Sunday.